From sprains to fractures, get expert care quickly at the University of Kansas Health System. Walk-in orthopedic care is open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 to 2, at I-435 and Null. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Yeah, sounds like it. Sounds like Mizzou would somehow win the NCAA tournament this year, even though they didn't make the tournament.
Don't ever compare Slim Chickens to Mizzou ever again, okay? Or I will hang up on you right now.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The most hydrated man in media, he's with us right now. It's Sterling Holmes. You can get his work a bunch of places, including every weekday, 3 to 4, over on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM for Darren and Sterling, or I like to call it Sterling and Darren. I actually try to call it that 50% of the time, just to keep people guessing. Also, you can follow him on Twitter at HomestretchKC. You can check him out on the Arrowhead Addict podcast. They do all sorts of stuff over there as well. Sterling, you really literally just always have a cup of water in your hand, and it's something that worries me about you a little bit.
Water and coffee. It's the coffee-water combo. When I worked for the Sixers, that was the joke, was I'd walk around like the sales staff and be like, coffee, water, who wants to go grab one at the little break room? I have to be drinking liquid at all times.
This is not me saying, look at how weird Sterling is for this thing that's not that weird. I was a little parched as the intro was playing just then. I thought, you know what? I'm going to grab my water bottle. I'm going to have a little sip to just make sure I'm in a good place for the rest of this hour. Then I realized I left it in the office. And I'm not going to go down the hall and go get the water bottle right now. I'm going to just do this segment. Afterwards, I'll have a nice drink. But I naturally produce saliva. And, I mean, I would rather have had a drink a minute ago. But I'm going to get through this segment fine, I think.
Well, speaking of saliva, my dentist used to call me the saliva king because I would have so much saliva.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it just naturally, I've never had a cavity. And they think it's part of the reason why I just need liquid. I drink a lot of beer, water, coffee, hot tea. As you know,
we gotta start calling you BWC. Instead of like a BMC or BWC. Beer, water, coffee.
Beer, water, coffee, baby.
But you are also a saliva machine.
Yeah. It's a wet situation going on.
You are a wet boy.
Very wet.
What percentage of human body? Humans are water. Okay, let's get the percentage here.
70%, right?
This is up to 60%.
So I'm 60% water. I'm at least 7% coffee.
You've got to be, like, I don't think this is how this necessarily works. I feel like you're 85% water.
At least liquid.
At least liquid, yeah. I just don't, what happens, let me ask you this. Let me ask it this way. And if you don't know the answer to this, this is going to go from a question to a challenge. What happens if you go 2 hours without a drink of liquid?
I don't know if I have. Like, even in the middle of the night, a lot of times I wake up and I have to keep at least one glass of water, at least one, by my bedside.
But I'm a pretty well hydrated person. I've got multiple, like, metal water bottles that I carry around and refill. And if I've got one with me, it means I've always got either water or a vessel to carry water in.
Sure.
Like, I am not a weirdly dehydrated person. I was drinking a ton of water for the 2 months that I realize in retrospect now are leading up to me having diabetes the whole time, right?
Are you saying I have diabetes?
I'm saying that something is wrong.
Oh, no.
With your fluid consumption.
Yeah, there's something wrong.
I am not a liquid prude. I'm not saying that being hydrated is anything other than a great thing to be. I'm curious if it is habitual at this point, if it is a fixation of some sort, or if it is a medical necessity that you just need more liquid in your body for some reason than the rest of us do.
It's all three. It's actually a combination. It's part of the BWC method.
Yeah.
You know how there's like Atkins diets and
it's
people
your TB12.
Go the ketosis or keto.
Uh-huh.
Ketoacidosis, whatever it's called.
Diabetic ketoacidosis is what almost killed me. Ketosis is what happens when your body is breaking down fat.
Then why do people do this? Why do people go on a diet that almost kills folk?
Great question. Huh. A fabulous question.
You know what doesn't kill people? The BWC. This has actually been a whole promotion for BWC.
The BWC method, I'm
TM,
here for.
TM, by the way.
Yeah, that is trademark of Sterling Holmes and, most importantly, me and Rudy.
Yeah.
Because we want our cut. But I will help you. I will help you promote the BWC method for sure.
Okay.
I did just. I was thinking, does BWC stand for anything else? And it could. It could.
I sure hope not.
It sure could. If you think about it for a second, you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that it could be.
I don't like this.
I just want you to go a day just drinking less. Like, you have to check in with Rudy, who I feel like drinks less liquid than maybe most people. I don't know. You've got your big Yeti cup that you carry around.
I probably
the
go
G Fuel.
Through.
No, dude
right.
crushes 17 Red Bulls a day. No.
He's cleaned out.
I probably drink like 6 to 8 of these a day.
Oh, really? Of the big Yeti cups?
Yeah, I probably consume 150-ish ounces of water.
Okay, never mind.
So he's on the BWC diet.
I like water.
You're here BWC in it. I thought you were going to take a big slurp right into the microphone, so I cleared out and
hate it.
Refreshing.
I
love ice cold water.
It's he's got a straw also. Yeah. I guess for you, the thing that I forget is that I don't see you refill that cup all that often. You just always, but you do always have it with you.
I do.
Literally all the time.
I always put it like it's always packed to the brim with ice. I always like to overload my drinks with ice because one, I like to be ice cold. But then also, for some reason, I'm in a situation where I can't refill it. Eventually, that ice is going to melt and there's just more water.
That's true. Sterling, you're shaking your head. Are you a room temp guy here
now? Oh, big room
That's
temp
insane.
Guy.
Insane. People
just
like
for water or is your beer also warmed up?
It's also
up?
Healthier to drink
no,
cold water.
No, but I don't. When people want, like, when they say ice cold beer,
yeah.
It's like you want it cold, but I don't want it to where it's hurting my teeth and where I can't drink it because when it's so cold. You don't get the flavor. It just tastes like pain.
First off, it tastes
like my teeth hurt.
First off, I'm talking about water. Two,
water, the same thing.
Two,
water room temp.
Two,
water
if,
room temp.
If cold drinks hurt your teeth, you need to go to a dentist.
I do.
The dentist
Zero
loves
cavities.
Him.
They love me.
Something's not right there.
No ice in my cherry limeade.
Because like
you're a beard.
You're insane.
You're a beard's pervert.
I drink ice cold water and I feel no pain whatsoever. I drink ice cold beer. I feel no pain whatsoever.
It's only a certain cold. Like it has to get to a certain degree.
I mean, sure,
like,
if it was like -50
bleep.
And I drank it, yeah, that might hurt.
My,
but like
my
it's
teeth,
nice.
My teeth will get sensitive if I bite into like ice cream with my teeth.
See now. No, I'm okay with biting into ice cream. Yeah.
Really?
Big biter when it comes to ice cream.
Uh-huh. When it comes to ice cream. Okay. It's great to know. I just think you seem like a generally healthy person with some really unhealthy habits, and I'm just worried about those being the things that get you, you know?
Well, they offset. That's why I do yoga and basketballs to offset the absolute asinine things I do on the other spectrum, like the Taco Bell diet I tried one time.
How did that go?
I lost weight. It worked.
Really? Tell me what. Walk me through that
well,
process.
Yeah,
you do not want to learn
projectile.
Yeah, yeah you don't know want to know how you lose weight on the Taco Bell diet.
Right.
But
he was on a he was basically a slip and slide. What? Is this a real thing that you did? Or is this a joke? Is this a little joke for the radio?
I did it. Like
words
I,
mean things, Sterling. Tell me about the Taco Bell diet.
I ate Taco Bell, I don't know. Basically every day, at least once a day for like 2 weeks. Lost probably like 10 pounds. Then I got the flu and lost more weight. And then I was very unhealthy. But yeah, I'm not claiming to be the pinnacle of health. But the BWC does keep me in fit shape. I can still grab rim.
Speaking of your basketball acumen and you at an even skinnier point in your life, the picture you tweeted out, or that your dad tweeted out?
Yeah, my dad
right?
was hazing me on Twitter, apparently.
Your dad crushed you on Twitter yesterday just simply with a picture of you in early high school.
Yeah, year? Freshman year of high school.
That's exactly what I would have guessed, I think. That's
14.
Perfect.
14.
Tell me about your freshman year, age 14, basketball skills. Because you look like you. It's special. The headshot is special.
You look like you're about to tell your dad, sorry, dad, basketball isn't for me. I love to sing.
That's wrong. Steph Curry and Jennifer Dett, but the defensive prowess, I don't know, of a four-year-old. Shooter.
You look like if Davis Mills was in High School Musical.
Davis Mills probably bald.
Sterling, you look like you were in High School Musical. That's what we're saying.
Look at that neck. I still have a long neck.
It's a long neck.
Is that why you wear collared shirts all the time? You hide some of that?
That's how you get it. It's why I wear turtlenecks. I can't do mock turtlenecks because the mock turtleneck doesn't get high enough.
Yeah.
You got to do the full on.
You got to.
A giraffe. I'm 5'10", but I'm like 30% neck.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was freshman year high school basketball. I had long locks. It's like if Steve Nash decided to have bangs.
You look like... You look like a little sister borrowing her big brother's basketball uniform for a Halloween costume.
And that little sister would cook you.
It's funny that your jersey says North, because I would argue that you are going anywhere but from this picture on.
I'm just saying, I learned to shoot from the best. Scott Wedman, former NBA player. I was told a bad shot is better than a turnover, so that guy freshman year was jacking up some very long, like Jimmer Fredette would have been proud.
You look like you might have shown up at practice one day with armpit hair taped on.
Fun fact, I got an armpit hair in sixth grade.
Just
couldn't grow, well, no, multiple.
Because it looks like you only have just one in this picture also.
I couldn't grow a beard until post-college. Like anything, it was abysmal. But armpit hair came early.
You look like the swimmer that got bullied into joining the basketball team in this picture. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me, like, you know, long, lanky arms, long neck, absolutely hairless. And it looks like you got bullied in from the swim team to the basketball team.
So I'm a poor swimmer, so...
When you were done with basketball practice, you throw on some Vans and go down to the skate park?
I actually did. That part is nails. That part's... A Blink-182 concert followed that picture.
He took that picture, Rudy. He put on some skinny jeans and some Vans, and he went down to the skate park to get beat up. Oh, I think we should do this more often, where we just get a picture, we all just roast somebody for 10 minutes.
Well, you should have seen my 8th grade picture. That's even better. But...
I'd love to see that.
I mean,
you should share that with the class. It's an audio medium, but I'll do my best to describe
it. This is always what people want in radio, right? They want to be described pictures from early on in their lifetime.
In this picture, you look like the guy that Zac Efron played in the movie of High School Musical, but they wanted to glam it up a little bit.
There's 8th grade. Sebastian Bach would be proud of that haircut. That's a full-on mullet.
Wow. No, that's not a mullet. You've got too much hair in the front. You look like the lead singer of Red Jumpsuit Apparatus
in
this picture.
Look up Sebastian Bach. That's what that hair reminds me of.
Composer?
Skid Row.
I only know this guy because he's in a couple episodes of Trailer Park Boys.
Oh, yeah. He's in TPB.
Yes.
Yeah, I think
I've never heard of him until Trailer Park Boys, but yeah.
I think that makes sense, because I also imagine that you're going to look like him whenever you're in your 50s.
Wow, I sure hope. Well, he's a cool dude, so if you know what? I'll take it. If you're telling me I could be like Sebastian Bach when I'm 50, pretty cool.
You look like you might look like a 50-year-old Sebastian Bach at 40. That's my concern for you.
That's
no, you're
fair.
You're too cleaned up now. You're too buttoned up now.
Business guy now.
Yeah, real business boy. Wearing those collared shirts to help cover up the fact that how tall are you, you said? 5'10"?
5'10".
Yeah, you're 5'4" without
five
a
nine.
Neck. Actually,
yeah.
It's less than that, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Probably. You want to talk about other things that aren't your high school basketball pictures?
Yeah, sure. Let me pull up some Briscoe high school pics. I'm sure those are golden.
Oh, yeah, no.
Well, he didn't go to high school, so.
He was homeschooled.
Yeah, I've had those all wiped
I've
all had those wiped from my mom's camera where I got my yearbook photo taken every time.
Briscoe was getting bullied every single lunch. It was by his mom.
All true. Did you see Dick Butkus on Twitter, by the way?
Okay, that guy, do you think he got bullied in high school because of his name, or do you think that he was unbullyable because he was just some large human being?
He was Dick Butkus the whole time, and so I think that in childhood somewhere he got bullied, and then that put him down a path to become literally unbullyable by being Dick Butkus.
Yeah.
But it's a brutal name if you're not a tough kid.
You know the song Boy Named Sue?
Yeah.
It feels like a very similar situation was going on with Dick Butkus.
Yeah.
Is his name Richard, I assume? Like Richard Butkus?
Is that worse somehow?
I think at that point you kind of have to embrace it, right?
Yeah.
You just got to go all in.
Richard Marvin Butkus. Could have been Marv.
I was literally about to say, could have just won as Marv.
Marv Butkus feels like a decent name for
but
somebody
to be fair,
born in 1942.
Marv Butkus doesn't make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You know who does make the Hall of Fame?
Dick.
Dick Butkus. Mm. That may make sense in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yeah, his parents really knew what they were doing. They knew. Oh, DMB is his initials. I wonder if he's a big Dave Matthews Band fan as well, right?
He has all lowercase tweets, no punctuation, but it's legitimately funny.
Strong move.
Which is shocking. Back soon enough, more to come, almost lunchtime here on the West Coast. Just like that, got the blue check mark. This is whenever he got the verified earlier today. Just like that, got the blue hash mark. Now let's start calling out all of the doubters.
Dick Butkus on Twitter.
Thank you kindly to everyone who helped make this happen. This is the official home of me, the Butkus Awards, and the foundation. Thanks in particular to the three people he tagged, and then hashtag Butkus is verified.
Who's better on Twitter, him? O.J. Simpson.
I was literally about to say.
Or Magic Johnson.
Hey,
Magic
Twitter
Johnson's
world, it's
incredible.
Me, DB.
Did you see what Magic Johnson did?
Do you know, though, about Magic Johnson's Twitter account?
Yeah.
He does not tweet. It's not him. He has somebody who he texts what he wants tweeted, and that person tweets it.
Strong. Perfect.
Like, and that's been Rob Lowe has, like, Magic Johnson went on Rob Lowe's podcast, and then Rob Lowe went on Part of My Take and, like, told that story. He has a person who he tells, like, who he will talk to, and that person will then translate it into a tweet.
Dick Butkus, now that I have the blue mark, I can kick people off the platform, right? You hear me? At Aaron Rodgers 12. Be back in a bit, doing a late brunch to celebrate.
This is just drill. I'm convinced this is drill.
It's basically drill Butkus. Yeah, it is football-related drill tweets, which I'm good with. I think the world could use a little bit more of that. You think Drill ever found a way to monetize the fact that just that whole deal? I think it might have been a podcast at one point or something, but like they just mastered the format anonymously with no real branding or anything before it was even monetizable. And now you just said Drill and we knew exactly who you were talking about, but I don't know who that is.
This goes to show it doesn't pay to be successful too soon. Be late to the party. You'll make more money that way.
Dick Buck has tweeted, let me gauge the audience. I'll, and then the tweet ended. It's just I-L-L, and then the tweet ends.
Well, he's ill.
He could be ill. Let me
Not
gauge the
sick.
Audience. Ill. Wait, hold on. It might have been an Illini thing. People are responding with I-N-I, so maybe he meant that to be... I-L-L.
Like the M-I-Z-Z-O-U thing?
Yeah.
Hate it.
Yeah, me too. What do you think about Chiefs Bills, Sterling? You excited?
I'm stoked. This is what I said was going to be the AFC Championship game going into the season, and I feel like it is the AFC Championship game going into the divisional round. Both teams are playing really good football right now. The Bills played what was basically a perfect game offensively, 7 possessions, 7 touchdowns. Against Bill Belichick, who, say what you will about the Patriots as a whole, no one's ever said Bill Belichick's a bad defensive mind.
No one has ever said it, except for maybe in Cleveland.
What's interesting to me is just
Bill
a couple seasons ago.
Whoa, everybody said it.
I'm going to fight you. I don't really care.
Now someone has said it, though. We can't say no one's ever said it. No.
One person has ever said it. A couple seasons ago, Josh Allen looked like he dropped acid. And then was thrown into a playoff game and said, hey, pal, I know you're seeing 17 colorful mushrooms and trees out there.
Yeah.
Try and complete a pass. But then he was unflappable against Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, which has been a boogeyman for them in the playoffs and regular season for a while.
Yep.
I'm interested to see what Spags can try and do against him. I know Josh Allen said the hardest and craziest fan base or that he ever played in was last year in the AFC Championship game when there was, 17,000 fans at Arrowhead.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We'll get ready for 76,000. I don't know if this moment is going to be too big for Josh Allen and if you can bring back some of those drug-dropping memories and try and get in his dome.
I would have thought that the hardest crowd he would have played in front of would have been last week, just based off of the advice they all got for handling cold weather. But if it was at Arrowhead, then I guess go for it. We haven't talked about that. How did you digest what Barks Prescott suggested
about it being cold?
About what to do whenever it's cold out?
Yeah,
you implemented that strategy before?
I don't. Do you think Bart Scott actually did is what you're
he
saying?
He said he has.
I bet he has.
No, I'm asking what you've done. You know, whenever you're out there for, a cold 8-10 event or just out, you go sledding or something, you know?
Don't show? I hate the cold, dude. But have, you know, but this.
You have a
I wear like a 17
single pill
pairs.
Solution.
Yeah, seems smart.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I've heard worse ideas.
I really like to be warm, so I usually, it's like 5 or 6 pills for me.
Yeah, he really takes them all at once. He crushes them up and snorts them. That's how it gets to your bloodstream quicker that way.
Real warm.
Yeah. He is, I'll give him credit for this. He is standing at attention at that microphone all the way throughout the show.
I just think this game.
Even when we do 4 hours.
This game is going to be very hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this game is going to be very hard for both teams.
I agree.
No, but I think the defenses aren't getting enough credit, personally.
I saw you tweet about that and kind of throw that out there. Yeah, tell me about that.
So originally, I go, yeah, I'm with everyone. These two offenses are rolling. They're predicated on both of their offenses. But then I got down a little bit and decided, okay, the Bills, they're number one in DVOA and EPA on defensively. Mm-hmm. I get it. They've played Jacksonville. They've played some horrible teams. I want to say they had the 30th. Ranked strength of schedule?
Something around there.
So,
yeah.
So sure, I know that plays into a part of it, but sure. They don't have a bad defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a couple playmakers in the secondary in Poyer and Micah Hyde.
Even without Tre'Davious White, which is also bonkers.
And Levi Wallace has played well in his absence.
Yeah.
So I think the Bills' defense, for the most part, they're going to do a good job of trying to limit the big plays. I think Kansas City should try, I don't know if they will, but try, and weird coming from me, run the football a little more,
mm-hmm.
try and not force anything. Don't try and make the big play when the right play could be right in front of you. And then as far as the opposite side, I think Chris Jones will be a game wrecker. I think Charvarius Ward, after he missed the first matchup, him being back is huge. I know Rashad Fenton being questionable, this is not ideal.
Yeah.
But I also said I think guys like Tyrann Mathieu, who he knows how much is on the line. If you want to be paid as the highest safety in the NFL, this is your chance to show it for not just for the Chiefs, but for everyone.
Right.
This is your chance to say, hey, this is why I deserve to be this. I don't think we'll see him missing any tackles.
Right.
I don't think we'll see Tyrann Mathieu flailing at guys, making a quote-unquote business decision.
Yeah.
He knows all eyes are on him. They're watching. I think also Nick Bolton will be a major factor in this game.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned their possible ability to run the ball. If you go all the way back to not just the Bills game earlier in the year, but the Bills game last year, I think about quite a bit, and mm-hmm. this is far enough ago that these are fundamentally different teams. But if you go back to that game, you got the Chiefs running the ball when the Bills were literally backpedaling at the snap, where their linebackers' first steps were backwards. That game stuck in my head because that was so bizarre to see from a defense.
Yeah.
I think on some level, ended up being a little bit of a precursor to what defenses started doing against the Chiefs from that point forward. It didn't work for Buffalo, but you get a big Clyde Edwards-Helaire game out of it, and you know that fueled a year of hot takes. But if they are running the ball more, or even if they're just running the ball some, I have my hunch on this, but where do you land on the current running back room after the week that Jerick McKinnon had last weekend?
It's incredible. And for me, not what Andy Reid would do, because I think Andy's going to throw Clyde out there because you don't lose your spot to injury. He's a first-round running back, and they love what Clyde brings as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
If it was me, I'd go Jerick McKinnon, especially on third downs.
Yeah, what's the split? Ballpark. I don't need the number of snaps, but how much of a lead? Because no one in football is running one running back out there 100% of the time.
I think it's going to be pretty 50-50.
What would you do?
I would probably go 65-35 McKinnon,
everybody else, McKinnon, Clyde.
McKinnon, Clyde. I think Darrell Williams is not 100%, and
I think
if he's going to be your quote-unquote power back, you need 1 yard, you go to Darrell, the barrel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he can't push off that toe, that doesn't give me a lot of confidence that he can keep the legs churning in those short-yarded situations. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think they'll go to him a lot on first and second down. I think every single third down is going to be Jerick McKinnon, whether that's both what I think and what I think Andy Reid will do. He is your best pass protector. He's your best pass catcher. But I think we'll start seeing him eat into Clyde's touches, especially later on as the game progresses.
Yeah.
But end of the day, I don't care. Ride the hot hand.
Mm-hmm.
I know I sound like an accountant or a mathematician when I say it's a sunk cost
right.
that you spend a first rounder on Clyde, but
if only someone would have warned them about that.
Well, you could have gotten James Robinson in the seventh. No,
yeah, no.
Or undrafted, but you could have got him in the seventh.
Uh-huh.
No, but my point is they'll ride the hot hand. I think Andy Reid at this point will do that, especially with Clyde coming off of an injury. And I'm hoping Jerick McKinnon has a repeat of what happened last week.
The Darrell injury, I do think, is a factor. So, you know, if you're accounting for that, because it's interesting, this has been the case for at least Daryl and Clyde. You talk about some of the skill sets they have and then how we ultimately thought they would be used, and nobody had it going this way for either of those guys. Where Daryl Williams has been the third down back since they drafted Clyde. Rookie year, you go, okay, well, maybe Clyde's just not ready to read the blocks yet, or he's not comfortable. They're not comfortable with him in pass protection, even though they always say they are when you ask them, but they clearly aren't because, you know, actions speak louder, right? Daryl Williams has been that guy on third down whenever he's been healthy, and I think Michael Burton might have the most short yardage carries out of that backfield. It could be Daryl still. I don't know what the overall splits were there. But you give me the option to have Jerick McKinnon on the field more often. I certainly think he should be out there on third downs because they clearly trust him in pass pro and they clearly trust him as a pass catcher. But having him out there earlier also, and Andy Reid mentioned this earlier today, talking about, you know, how you manage the different running backs with their own different things. But if you have Jerick McKinnon out there on first and 10, I feel better about a screen picking up 8 yards on that play than I do with anybody else out of that backfield. I think that the presupposition of drafting Clyde was that he was going to be this awesome pass catcher, that he was going to be really dynamic, and that he could be on the field for all three downs. Mm-hmm. That was a big talking point. He hasn't been that last
wide receiver.
He's basically a wide receiver, is what I do remember us talking about. He is not out there on third downs all that often, but also I think we've just kind of gotten to a point where even whenever he's healthy, I kind of wonder if Clyde Edwards-Helaire isn't like the perfectly average running back on like almost every factor, like Mario in the Mario
Dude,
sports games.
I was just
going
to say Mario.
Let's go.
He's literally Mario,
and I don't mean average as, you know, he's the second best back on the 16th best backfield. You can take it among starters or among your top 50 guys. You'll get significant work. Mario is a good guy to have in your Nintendo sports game lineup. He will be perfectly good at everything, but he doesn't have any one exceptional trait. And maybe Clyde's, you know, little wiggle or his contact balance is maybe closer to elite, but I don't take Mario first in Mario Baseball. You know,
take Wario. Wario.
Interesting. You're a big power first guy. That makes sense. I think in Mario Baseball, I just personally have always been a big fan of Yoshi and Monty Mole as characters. So I go, that's what speed do typically.
I'm the villainous guy. I'm the
you strike me as
Waluigi
one.
Bowser. Wario situation.
You're a real Waluigi type. That checks out.
Waluigi makes sense actually. Yeah. I hope people keep this in mind, not just for you, but for everyone they encounter with. Your average dude walking around with a button-up shirt and a puffy vest over it, or a fleece vest over it, wearing Patagonia, might be a perfectly normal man in the streets. Once you get him into some Mario games, he's a villain in the sheets, or whatever. That's startling to me. I didn't think of you as being a Wario, Waluigi, Bowser guy. But I'm starting to see it now. I'm starting to get worried. I can't look him in the eyes anymore, Rudy. I got to look away. I got questions about the darkness that burns within Sterling. What's the last Mario video game that you've played?
Mario Golf.
Which one?
For GameCube.
Yeah, okay. Do you have a Switch?
Played on Wii.
Do you have
a
Switch?
Switch?
Okay. Mario Golf on Switch is pretty good, by the way. I will tell you that. It is not a great RPG single-player mode, but the multiplayer mode of Mario Golf on Switch actually absolutely rules. Fun tip for you. Who do you play at in Mario Golf on GameCube? It's
my friend's house. My friend. It's a Mario
Toadstool
Golf.
Tour?
Toadstool Tour. Yeah, it's fire.
Who do you play as, though? Who's your character choice?
Waluigi.
Okay.
Typically, because he a little longer off the tee, but not quite the hook that Wario has. It's a draw, and you can control it. It's like my actual golf swing, so it's pretty nice. pretty nice.
What was that? What was pretty nice? You realize you had gotten too excited to talk about Mario Golf? You need to take the edge off?
I didn't take the edge off. I didn't have enough water.
Go ahead and have a sip. Talk about these sweet video game.
By the way, I just want to say this. I was the first person on the Jerick McKinnon is going to be an impact player for Kansas City when they got him this offseason.
Yeah.
And I was wrong for 18 weeks. But that last week, I'm sitting here going, about time.
Hey, Sterling, you tell me when those games matter. When do the games matter, Sterling? What month? Sorry, Sterling, I have a question for you. Do we play for October? Do we play for November? Do we play for December even? When does the season really start, Sterling?
January.
We were right about January.
Wrong, February.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, I was going to say that, but he says when it starts.
When it starts in January.
Yeah, none of this matters.
So that's fair. Until we get to the, and the Super Bowl actually doesn't matter because then it's just pre-draft time. You know?
Nothing exactly. matters. Eat Arby's.
Nothing matters. Eat Arby's. Tell me the, you know what? You know what we can do for maybe the first time in this segment? You can give us your Sterling's last book recommendation, and then I can give you a book recommendation back that I'm about halfway through right now.
Oh, my last one, Devil in the Dark Water by Stuart Turton. He wrote
Have we talked about that before? That really rings familiar for me, but I don't know why. I just read it.
It's okay. relatively new. His first book was Seven and a Half Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle? Hardcastle, something like that. I read it last year. It was incredible, that book. So I got this one, and wow, phenomenal. Really like his writing. He's only written two books, but a big fan. And then A History of Wild Places by Shay Earnshaw was another really good one I read this year. These are the that one. Carmelo Anthony's autobiography was really good too.
Really, you read Carmelo's autobiography?
Yeah, I didn't know how rough it really was where he grew up and all that stuff.
I don't know why I've heard of Devil. Maybe someone else read it and tweeted about this book. I don't know. If you want a weird book that's great in audio form, which is how I've been listening to it, you're a reader though, right?
Yeah, books only.
I'm trying to get. I subscribe to Audible like premium or whatever, so I've got some tokens that I could use. But I've been listening to Drew McGarry's book, The Night the Lights Went Out. He was a writer for Deadspin. Now he writes for Defector, but he had a brain incident. After a Deadspin Awards, he wrote a story. If you want to read the short version, he wrote a blog about it that I think went up in Deadspin before Deadspin became, as Beards would call it, zombie Deadspin. But he had a brain aneurysm of some sort and collapsed and cracked his skull open. And this is right after like a big Deadspin Awards show. And this book is sort of the journey of what happened that night, the, like, I think ultimately week that he doesn't remember at all.
Wow.
And then the process after that of him learning to, you know, live with the brain damage and then the damage that came with it and that whole process. I'm about halfway through it. And for me, the first half is what I was most excited to read / listen to, because the sensation of having a period of time that you, a medical emergency that you do not remember, that other people around you have to tell you about secondhand, is buck wild. I had a good little 30 hours or so of that. He's got like a week and change. And so that whole process, that whole phenomenon, fascinating. And Drew McGarry is a fabulous, hilarious writer. So it's not nearly as dark as I just made it sound. So yeah. If you are interested in that, I'd recommend it.
Yeah, I'll check it out. But I do remember your 30 hours of where you don't remember.
Yeah.
You literally kept walking around and mooning everyone.
Yeah.
It was just, you kept saying, "Do you see that outside, guys? It's a full moon.
It's a full moon." And then I'd turn over and I'd go, "Running backs matter. Ha ha ha."
Yeah.
And that's how you guys knew that.
You said run the football.
Yeah.
You were like, "Running backs matter. Run the football. Take the time off the clock and keep Patrick Mahomes on the sidelines.
Yes, yeah. Win time of possession.
Yeah.
Charvarius Ward isn't good, never has been.
That one I can't get behind.
I know. I figured there'd be a place we could make it too far for even the most well-hydrated man in all of Kansas City media. Sterling Holmes, follow him on Twitter at HomestretchKC. You can check him out on Darren and Sterling 3-4 over on our sister station ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, the Arrowhead Addict podcast. And again, follow him on Twitter. He's working on his Twitter game. You're growing, you're improving, you're coming along nicely. But if you want to get in and, you know, really appreciate Sterling's Twitter growth, now is the time you can get in. It's like Bitcoin. You know, don't wait till it's too late. Invest in Sterling's Twitter game now. Thank you, Stu.
Thanks, Briscoe.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I hate Nick Bolton, and I hate him because he's a Missouri Tiger.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I hate Nick Bolton.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Matt Leiner was played there to prove that Rudy reads the Twitch comments.
Yep. I actually meant to play it earlier, and then I just forgot about it, and then I just remembered, oh, yeah, I was going to play it earlier for Wallaby. I believe it was Wallaby who asked for it. Well, asked me to get you to talk about how you hate Nick Bolton to complete the trifecta, and I just figured, why make Josh say it when he's already said it? Why make this Josh say it when past Josh has already said it?
I don't hate anybody. on the Kansas City Chiefs?
Just Nick Bolton?
No.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
No.
Who was the first one?
Frank Clark. I don't hate him either. My least favorite member of the Kansas City Chiefs
is...
I mean, you say
you don't hate Nick Bolton, but, like, Josh, it says it clear as day.
I like the idea that I was going to actually say the name of a player right there, but then you interrupted me, and I like, now I'm just going to throw a fit and just not say the player that I do hate on the Chiefs.
I mean...
I don't hate any members of the Kansas City Chiefs.
I hate Nick Bolton, and I hate him because he's a Missouri Tiger.
Is that not you?
You know what I'm going to say? Here's what I'm going to say. And I'm going to say this following up on what we talked about with Sterling for a chunk of that last segment. I'm going to read something, and then I'm going to go get it tattooed on my chest. All lowercase, no punctuation, tweet from Dick Butkus.
I hate Nick Bolton, and I hate him because he's a Missouri Tiger.
I don't know why he said that.
No, he said this. Also, sorry to disappoint some of you Packers fans. Nope, I read that one already. That's not the right. That's the wrong one. I've liked all of them, so it's hard for me to keep it all actually lined up.
Oh, is it this one?
I hate Nick Bolton, and I hate him because he's a Missouri Tiger.
Wait, hold on. He didn't delete it, right? There's no way he's deleting tweets.
You and Dick, I almost said Nick. Dick Butkus sound a lot alike.
Hold on. I literally screenshot this. Okay, here we go. Again, this is the crown jewel of the Dick Butkus timeline right now. I'll try not to disappoint any of you, but if I do, it's too damn bad. I mean, come on! If that can't be our energy in 2022, I don't want to have any energy. I'll try not to disappoint any of you, but if I do, it's too damn bad. All lowercase, no punctuation, Hall of Famer.
I hate Nick Bolton, and I hate him because he's a Missouri Tiger.
That's not true.
To hell with him, Josh. Believe your beliefs.
Wallaby asked who I hate. I don't hate anyone.
I hate Nick Bolton, and I hate him because he's a Missouri Tiger.
That's who he hates, Wallaby.
I hate Rudy, and Wallaby says I think he probably hates Mike Hughes for not being Bashaud Breeland. Mike Hughes showed up to training camp wearing dangly number 21 earrings. How could I not love Mike Hughes? Also, lots of questions about channel points and getting more emojis and stuff in the Twitch. And we love you guys. And I just haven't gotten there. You know that. I'm sorry. Keep using your points to highlight every single message. I find that funny. Here, you get fake internet points, and I use them to fake highlight your internet comments. That feels about right.
Here's the difference between us and, like, the other Twitch streamers you follow. That's their job. We have other stuff going on, you know? We're more than just Twitch. You know? We're busy boys.
That's probably fair.
By busy, I mean lazy.
Mm-hmm. One of those two, for sure. Those words sound very similar and both have four letters. You see Mick Schaefer tweeting about Wordle?
Is he right now?
No. Just gotcha. like this week I've seen him tweet about Wordle. I'm excited to talk to Mick about Wordle.
I'm pretty good today.
I got today's in three.
I thought it was going to be better.
I'm guessing that in 15 minutes we're going to have to fully talk about the actual word of today. So if you don't want to hear that before you get it done, go do your Wordle, son. Hey, eat your vegetables, do your Wordle.
I mean, like, I
then you can play video games.
I've seen people do Wordle for, I mean, not really for 200 days, or been roughly 200 days of this prior to me joining.
Right.
But it's probably about 50, a month, I would say, of it being really popular before I got in. I was like, this Wordle thing's kind of dumb. And then I did it just to be like, well, you know, let's check it out, right? I don't want to, like, put something down until I give it a go.
Sure, give it a go.
I'm hooked.
It's a good game.
It is.
We can talk about it with Nick. I'm guessing. I want to know where he's at on it. Because I hope it's... Hey, everybody! New Dick Butkus tweet just dropped!
Oh, boy.
Matt says I can't have my damn dinner unless I make a curtain call because I'm trendy and need to thank everyone. So thank you. Now let me eat.
You may eat, Dick.
Excuse me?
Butkus. The name.
The Hall of Famer.
The Hall of Famer.
Dick Butkus, you may eat, is the sentence that sometimes that the order of a sentence really matters.
Yeah, I think I had that down pretty good.
I love, man. Also, sorry to disappoint some of you Packers fans now that I'm trendy. It's not because I'm dead. He is absolutely heard. Like,
it's so good.
His son or whoever Matt is clearly talking, saying that he is trending, which he certainly is.
Yeah.
But I think he's just heard it as trendy the whole time. Matt is his son, according to his pinned tweet.
Hello, world. It's me, Dick Butkus.
Yours truly. I am thrilled that he has found Twitter and is being like Sterling said, he's just drill.
Like, just look at his profile pic.
Yeah.
Like,
it's powerful.
That is just a man that was built to crush people.
A man wearing shoulder pads bigger than my first car.
He was just meant to hurt people.
If Dick Butkus in this picture with these shoulder pads ran into Renee's Chevy Spark, the car would lose.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a man right there.
Renee's car is basically the silhouette of one of those old play school cars you would move with your feet, you know? Red car, yellow roof. And I think Dick Butkus would eat most automobiles for dinner.
You know, this makes me also then think of Mike Ditka. Obviously, like, we all know of him as, like, the coach, and obviously he played as the Bears. That's why I kind of thought of him. The other day I saw, like, his like, rookie year numbers,
mm-hmm.
and you're just like, holy bleep, he was a really good football player. Like, if you just go look at his, like, rookie league, like, he was doing some stuff as a tight end that you would be impressed of now. And you're like, wait a second, was this old school defensive running coach, like, actually meant to be playing in today's NFL, just, like, running down the middle, just catching bombs from Patrick Mahomes?
I'm going to be very honest about something. This entire time.
Did you think Dick Butkus was Mike Ditka?
No, but I've been envisioning Mike Ditka's face the entire time. The whole time I've been going, that's Dick Butkus, and thinking of him looking like Mike Ditka.
Listen to this. In 1961, rookie year Mike Ditka, 56 catches, 1,076 yards and 12 touchdowns for a rookie in 1960.
In how many games?
14 games.
Good grief.
He finished his career with 427 catches. He really, like, his first 4 years in the NFL, he went off, and then it started declining at that point. So, like, wasn't hearing that.
Because he had been wearing pads made out of aluminum cans.
Yeah, the man played 12 years in the NFL, but he really had, like, four really good years. But, he finished with 427 catches, 5,800 yards, and 43 touchdowns. And again, you just look at those first 4 years. Let me just click on these buttons real fast and pull these bad boys up. His first 4 years, he had 248 catches, 3,600 yards, and 30 touchdowns. Like, Mike Ditka was born. Also, the man was not, like, he was listed as 6'3", 228. Like, that is, like, Noah Gray size. And just out here just taking the NFL by storm. Mike Ditka should have played in today's NFL.
Also,
a star.
Just a thing that just happened in the sports world alongside that. Grayson Allen just delivered a pretty nasty foul to Alex Caruso.
Oh, I was going to say to a player on the Nuggets, but I forgot he's not on the Grizzlies anymore. Nuggets
no,
playing the Grizzlies
he's tonight. A buck. And Grayson Allen going up against Alex Caruso for, like, a pretty, a relatively violent up and down. Caruso's fall made it look a lot worse. But just a unique sort of posterizing situation.
What's
there.
What's up with, like, I gotta say, because, like, I said it on this show. I don't remember exactly what we did. We talked about the Bulls, like, offseason at one point in the show.
Yeah.
And I, like, was not impressed with it.
Best record in the East.
It just legitimately felt like they were building a team just to be the 8th seed in the East. And, like, what's the point of that? Holy crap, they're good.
They're good. Caruso's been hurt.
And, like, DeMar DeRozan has become, like, one of the NBA's best players, and he just does not shoot threes. Like, he just literally refuses to shoot threes. he is playing a style of basketball that is essentially kind of outdated.
I believe he made his first three of the season.
Excelling at it.
Like last week, right?
Yeah, he is dominating at it. The only two players who are, and again, this just, like, he's always been a good player, but this just, when you're in this company, it just shows how good you are. Him and Kevin Durant are the only players who are shooting mid-range jumpers and actually having the same amount of value as most three-point shooters.
It's crazy.
It's just him and Durant, which is absurd. You expect Durant to a degree because, like, I mean, he is maybe the, you know what I mean? He might be the best pure scorer like in NBA history just based off how he can just do it all. And DeMar DeRozan is just doing the same thing. I think a lot of that is probably because I was thinking about this.
He is attempting almost two threes per game, so I undersold it. Yeah, someone did not hit their first three in a
minute. He is not shooting very many of them. Because he did have a stat I saw. I don't remember exactly what it was. I believe he's the first in a long time to have, I think, two 30-point games this year without attempting a single three in those games.
Crazy.
Like, he's scoring. He has had 30-point games without shooting a three. Not making a three, but just shooting a three, which just doesn't happen.
Does not compute. Beards would be proud of the fact that we're talking about DeMar DeRozan on a Friday before Chiefs-Bills in the divisional round.
I think, you know, you just spend your career in Toronto and then San Antonio post-San Antonio being good, and you just nobody really knows how good you are. Because he's really good.
Yeah. I think that is literally exactly what it is.
Did you see his game winner the other day where he just like was fading away off 1 foot, looked like he was barely trying? Here's what I think it was. He had never hit a game winning shot literally until like 2 weeks ago.
Maybe that was it.
And then he hit in back to back games, hit game winning shots. So that might be what you're thinking of. Like this might have been within the last 2 weeks. He never had a game winning shot, and then he had back to back games with them.
It's wild. His stat
it's
lines
so
in the modern NBA
good.
Are crazy. We need to take a break, right, before we circle around and talk to Mick Schaefer. We'll do that. So this segment included Dick Butkus, Mike Ditka, and DeMar DeRozan, whose name is not phallic in any way.
The trifecta.
Triple D.
Triple D, baby.
Ditka.
Quadruple D.
And DeMar DeRozan. Yeah.
Quadruple D. That's four Ds there.
Four Ds. Take that, Guy Fieri. You got Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Mount Rushmore of D's.
We got Ditka and DeMar DeRozan. To the Mount Rushmore of D's?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
It's the four best D's.
Are those Ditka. The four best? Ditka, Dick, and DeMar DeRozan?
Yeah. Mount Rushmore of D's.
You know what we're playing on this radio show today?
What?
4D chess. You're playing checkers, we're playing 4D chess, baby. Let's take a break.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Here are seven incredible sex positions. We can't wait to show Jesus when he finally returns to Earth.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Oh, can I get an amen?
Amen!
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Ice Pyro on Twitch said King DDD. Now it's Sextuple D's. I don't know. Mick Schaefer of KSHB 41 will round out the week with us here in a couple of minutes. But in the meantime, we're not going to do serious Chiefs final takes with Mick, so we'll do them here. Rudy, how you feeling?
I'm going to go, I don't know, man. I don't know how I feel about this game. But I think the Chiefs are going to come out with a win. I think this is still Patrick Mahomes as, you know, cementing himself as the next Tom Brady, you know, of the AFC, the boogeyman of the AFC. So I think the Chiefs are going to win 31-27.
I think the Chiefs are going to win. I think that Verderam's case about the trenches was pretty moving for me. I just also think that there is a legit 45% chance that it's just a weird turnover game, some bad bounces, and that's it, and that's all it takes for the Bills. They will not let the Chiefs get away unpunished for mistakes that they made against the Steelers. But I don't think they're going to make that many of them. I'll go, would you say 30-27?
31-27.
Okay, I'll go 30-27. Mick Schaefer is next.